Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bishop.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, coming at you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. Wow, is it a great time to be a Caps fan or not?
Yes, it is. Yes,
and,
it is.
And speaking of Caps fans, you're hearing another great one on the mic right now. And that would be the voice of the beautiful, the wonderful, the mermaid mentalist. She can smell a goal before, well, anything else. Fairfax's finest, Anna Knox.
Yes. Oh, my God. Can you believe, like, when we were talking last week, we were going into Game 5. And here we are, like, just still loving the high of being Stanley Cup champions. Oh my God, so good.
I want to say that being at the parade yesterday allowed it to finally sink in. But there sometimes I stop and think, and I'm like, it just feels, it still feels like I'm in a dream.
Yeah.
Even though I can touch and taste and feel everything, and I have not gotten off, literally have not gotten off Twitter and Facebook for the majority of the last 3, 4, 5 days.
I know.
And just to hear
so pumped.
All the other Caps fans everywhere else that are still so pumped about this, and to watch the celebrations, and that, I'm just going to get right into it. That parade yesterday was something else. I mean, I was tired and sore and achy and a little cranky from it, but well worth it. Well worth the punishment and the slight bit of aggravation towards the end, but as well as how do I put this?
Just say it.
Urinological, if that's a word.
Oh,
distress.
Yeah.
'Cause what it was they had. I had heard that they had. Well, when we walked towards the stage, which is where Ron and I were, Ron Schrantz, who I went in with, got there about 6 or so in the morning. And we walked towards the stage, and of course it's on the mall, and we walked past, must have been about a row of about 20 or 30 porta-potties, and we heard later that only one of them was working.
Oh.
And by the time I had taken precautions, and I'm hoping I'm not boring everybody to death with this, but I took precautions and took very small sips of a large bottle of sparkling water that I had with me. So I didn't really have to go until we were just about done. So I didn't want to chance it.
Oh my God, I would have been in so much trouble. when I saw was people who I was being tagged in pictures and messages coming out on people who had backpacks full of cocktails, and it was like 7:30, 8. And as much as I'm like, God, who could drink that early? You know what? I totally could. I totally could amongst Caps fans. I wouldn't give a shit. But you know what? If I couldn't find one of those Don Johns, I would. But go back. How does a porta potty not work?
I don't know if it wasn't working, but so much as it was locked and nobody could get into it. I don't know if they forgot
to lock
them or what, but when I heard that, and things had started going by about eight or nine, there was a huge crowd behind us already, and Ron and I were like, ain't no way we're battling through this.
Just, right.
We picked out a nice spot. We were probably about 10 feet from the fence, which was another 20 feet or so from the stage.
So amazing.
And, and they had the Jumbotron screens mm-hmm. on both sides. So once in a while they'd play the some featured videos from that every once in a while. And that was great to see. And I have to say about, I don't know, 1,000 mic checks later, they did this really great warm up with the two guys from the Army. Including Sergeant Bob, They came out and did the national anthem, and everybody was like, everybody jumped up, started taking their hats off, and stood at attention, and they got about one verse in, and then they were all like, Bob and I think his name's Caleb. They stopped and stood at the crowd and looked out for a second like, oh, this was just a rehearsal, guys.
Yeah. Oh, shit, the mics were on. Oh, that's awesome.
No, they knew what they were doing. They faked us all out. That was just, everybody had a good laugh about that. That was one good way they had of keeping us. Oh, my God. And the souvenir towels. My God, they just did not stop. Some guy must have had 40 boxes of them, just throwing them into the crowd.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And these two girls behind us, they just kept on getting pelted with them. I just felt so sorry for them until they finally moved towards the fence to make sure they weren't hurt. So I got a couple of those sitting across the way from me on my stove. That was nice. And gotten some good conversations with some fellow Caps fans. The Red Man came
by.
Yeah, he came
awesome.
Through, took some pictures with a bunch of people. That was awesome to see.
And Gil.
Yeah.
You were wearing your cowboy hat.
Yes, I was. Okay. Well, more accurately, my alter ego was wearing the cowboy
right,
hat.
Stop. You were wearing it.
But the
okay.
The Reverend took a peaceful stance and just let everybody enjoy and kind of soaked everything up and mm-hmm. that was pretty much it. And of course hours and hours later you had the parade roll by, and it definitely was worth the wait. You had the six or seven buses come back, and the last one of course that had the cup on it and all the trophies and OV of course was kind of delayed. That was, you know, a little bit of an aggravation. That thing rolled in about 20 minutes after the bus before it did.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it was able to keep track of it on the screens. It was real nice to see. And then you know, they piled everybody in, and Wes came out, did the introductions.
Oh, awesome!
And I know Ovi's speech was absolutely great, but. I have to say, my favorite part, and I'm being real selfish here, but my favorite part of the whole stage show was near the beginning, when the first person they called out was Joe Benignati. No. Joe Benignati.
Okay, I thought you meant player. Okay,
No. No.
Joby.
Yeah, they called him out, and he was basically like, you know, you guys, the fans, you are the ones that willed this team on, and it was because of your spirit that carried this team into the greatness and all. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but it was Joe B. Yeah, it's great to see him like that. And then towards the end, he was like, oh, and all of the frustration, and it didn't look like it at first in the beginning. We had all the problems. We were down 2-0, but we fought through, and you carried them through. being down an 0-2 hole and then past Pittsburgh, they exercised those demons, and then past Tampa Bay into the conference championship and then Vegas, and then he wrapped it all up with, guess what? Hallelujah, let's go Caps, which is what we say here on this show.
I love it.
And I just about died on the spot. I was like,
I probably would have cried.
Joe, do you listen to the... I wanted to scream. Right. Joe, are you listening to our show?
Are you listening to Power Play? Well, I will say, Gil, I am like... I was super, super excited for you yesterday. I have to admit, I have coworkers that I totally love, and I probably could have gone in with them, but things were just... like I said, I had these adult responsibilities, blah, blah, blah. And there just was, it just wasn't in the cards for me. And so when I was thinking about the parade and the fact that when they won game five and I'm looking at my phone the next day, I was like, did I seriously call Gil like 1:08 in the morning?
Yeah.
I called you and then I was on the phone with somebody else like 2:15. I remember talking to you. Of course I do. I'm not saying I don't remember, but I just remember being like, you know, when you're talking about being in a dream, I'm like, did that just seriously happen? I was like, wait, oh my God, because we were talking about this, you know, 4 or 5 hours after the fact. But I will say, like, I was just like, yep, my friend, my partner in crime on this podcast is going to be there and I'm going to live vicariously through him. And I'm not jealous. I was so excited for you. I like truly was like, so pumped because I knew you were going to appreciate it and just love it as much as I would have. And for me, I would have showed up. I would have been the person who had been pounding beers and then would be like, oh my God, I got to break the seal. And it's like, you know, 7:45 and you'd never see me again because I would get lost on my way back or I'd be crowd surfing or something. So for you to go and Ron, like, you know, he was downplaying the fact that he had great pitchers, but I thought you guys had awesome pitchers. And I just loved seeing everyone's different. You know, some people just saw the parade and other people just saw the rally or they did both. You know what? And the players were so humbled and totally wasted, some of them. But I liked the fact that they sat on the two-decker, you know, on the buses, but that they were with their families, you know, like to me, that was just, you know, it wasn't just, you know, oh, hey, we're this hockey team. It's like, no, you know what? You've got wives and girlfriends and, you know, family and kids and whatever that are supporting you in this. And it's such a big deal. You know, it was really cool to see that side of it too. And, you know, they didn't stop like from, cause like we spoke before, since I was unable to go, I went with a diehard fan who just got her Stanley Cup tattoo, which I love. And, we went to Two Silos out in, I want to say it's in Haymarket, but I'm not sure if that's right. A phenomenal place if anybody has a chance to go. Like,
I thought it was great. I thought it was in Chantilly.
No. That's we were going to go to a place in Chantilly, but it didn't open until 4.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell? Because that was like so much closer. No, this place is a little bit further out, but it was an absolutely gorgeous day. You know, like no humidity, whatever. And I guess this place is insane on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights because they've got live music and whatever. So there was like a ton of places to sit outside. Well, of course, Lori and I showed up and we're like the only two people there, but that's okay. And the owner came out and we chatted with him for a while and we put the game on and we were able to sit in like this outdoor seating area, having beers, watching this on NBC. And it was so great. And they did a good job with the coverage. There was a couple little things that irritated the you know what out of me, which was like minimizing the screen so that they could show commercials. And I was like, can't you reverse that? Like, can't you minimize the screen for the commercial? But I understand. I know what they have. They got to pay their bills. But I will say that it was like, you know, you've got Oshie and his daughters, you know, you've got Tommy and his girlfriend Taylor, you've got everybody, and they did not stop waving to the crowd, you know, yelling to the crowd, clapping for the crowd, just for that like mile drive or whatever it was to the rally. And it's like, you know what, they do truly appreciate the fans, and they I feel like they appreciated it, and I just thought it, you know, it was awesome, and I thoroughly enjoyed watching like all the different angles, and I wish I could have seen the Dopey. I don't know where I might have been at some practice. It's probably, yeah, or I was heading, no, I guess we must have been in the car then, because I missed the whole Dopey thing, and I'm such a huge fan of his. That's
yeah.
Okay.
No,
but you know what, I'm like, how cool is that he said everything and he acknowledged the fans?
Everybody was great. Then I think it was John Walton that came out next. He pretty much emceed the event, as it were. He introduced the players one by one in order of number. Of course, Ovechkin was last. It was just a great sight to see. But you mentioned let's go backwards a little bit. You mentioned the call to me. Let's talk about the game that led up to that. Well, the last say 10 minutes of it. We won't even need to do a full recap. We were all there,
right?
And as they say, you know, if you had a ticket to the game, they'll sell you the whole seat, but you only needed the edge. And boy, were we on edge those last 10 minutes. So they came.
Oh my God!
Yes, they came into the period down 2-1. No, 3-2.
No,
3-2.
3-2, right.
3-2. And then Smith-Pelly got his goal.
Which was just not
to tie it up.
A goal. It was a phenomenal goal. Like that, and I think I said this before, like I thought I was impressed with the game 4 goal that he had. I think game 5 just totally trumped that. I was like, oh my God, talk about something that he is going, like, we're all going to remember it, but he is going to seriously have that play and that goal, and you know, oh my God, so good. But yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yes,
no,
so
that's fine. Easily
ties it up.
Easily the most significant goal of his career, and the best way I can describe it is if a football player could do a juggling act and ballet all at the same time. That's what it looked like when he scored that goal, because it took a hell of a lot of it, hell of a balancing act.
Yeah.
For him to he was falling down. He got bumped. So he was falling down. He had the puck on the edge of the blade of his stick, and he managed to fling it towards the open side, and Fleury couldn't get to it. And I don't know. There was one other time I did this, and I must have jumped at least 5 feet in the air. I swear I almost hit the ceiling in the house. But there was only one other time I did it, and it was when Joel Ward scored the overtime goal against the Bruins.
Yep.
All those years ago.
Well, that Smith-Pelly goal, I mean, when you're talking about skill, now I know you you skated before, you've played hockey before, obviously, but I have not. And my skill on skates is, it's not pretty. We'll just say that. I'm because I'm competitive, I didn't give up, but you know, when you fall in the ice, like it hurts like hell. And so here's a guy who is, you've got all that adrenaline, all that momentum going, and you are bumped and you're falling. And yet he still manages to, I don't know if he turned around, however he did it, and freaking shoot the puck in the goal. By God, it was real. I'm like, it was. I think I sat there just looking at it kind of like Ovechkin's face during Holtby's save. You know, we were like, whoa, what? So yeah. So, anyways, go on to the recap. I don't keep interrupting.
No, that's fine. So that tied it up. And okay, so I want to be accurate about this, so bear with me a minute while I look it up. But obviously, there was a cup winning goal, and it was
by your boy.
Yeah, it was by Mr. Lars Eller. And okay, all right. So are we gonna?
There was like at 12:53, something like that.
Okay, I got it now. 12:23, pretty close.
I was close.
So about 2.5 minutes after Smith Pelly's goal, which go by the way, that goal does not happen without Brooks Orpik making a hell of a play.
Exactly.
That puck was maybe three hairs from being out.
Yep.
Of that line.
And
credit to Brooks Orpik.
Right. I mean, we gave him some love last week, but he's got like uber bear hug from me this week. I'm like, hell yeah.
And we
good for you, 44.
He's taken a lot of grief this year, but there weren't very many that came up as big in this playoffs.
Right, right.
So that has to be said. Okay, but getting back to the Eller goal.
Mm-hmm.
if I were able to make my own private video, and Fleury's done this before,
mm-hmm.
I just reveal some secrets of the trade here. I would insert a fart noise.
Oh,
because that puck literally squirted between his legs.
Ew. God, Gil. Like, do you forget that I work with 9 and 10 year old boys all day long? So I have to hear this all day. And now you, okay, it is funny though. I'll give you that. I mean, I am like the worst teacher when I'm like, I find it funny because I'm like, oh my God, did you just start? But okay. Anyways. Yeah. Okay. So the fart sound with Fleury. Ew.
So it squirts between his legs. He doesn't know where it is.
Let's not use squirt.
Slither?
No, I don't. I'll think of something else. But squirt is like, now I can't think of anything other than like a fart or something. That's just like, okay, all right.
Well, it's pretty much what he did. He farted. Okay. He farted the puck behind him.
All right. God.
But that, so Eller was pretty much behind him, put himself behind him, and managed to see the puck, got a blade on it, and of course put it in. And that's another one. My reaction, you mentioned the save. My reaction to that was pretty much the same as when I saw that. My jaw just dropped. I could not believe what I was seeing.
Well, I think in my head, because at this point into the third, like my phone had been blowing up from the cheesy opening ceremony, because I was like, oh my God, just drop the puck already. I'm so over, like,
let it loose, Anna. I did promise you free reign.
You did. But look, I'm controlling. I've done what? Two bad words, right?
You've taken your fuck control pills today?
I have. Oh, look at you. Oh, Gil. I'm like, so excited. I have a little like proud mom moment there. Yeah, but I, you know, my phone's blowing up and I'm like, oh my God, people stop. And then of course I'm like, oh, that was really funny what somebody sent, or, you know, like going back and forth between this. And then all of a sudden we get into about 10 minutes into the third period and my phone's just radio silent. I was like, oh, well, maybe people are giving up. Like, you know, like maybe people are truly just not thinking we could pull it off. And then it was like, okay, Smith Pelly. And I'm like, radio silent. I'm like, what is, like, how comes no one's contacting me? Well, because I was so occupied, or preoccupied, I should say, with watching everything else that I didn't realize that my battery had completely died. And I thought I was plugged in. No, apparently when you're jumping up and down off the couch, you can pull it out of the outlet. So I had no, because I'm like, I am plugged in. And then I was like, oh, not to the outlet. Awesome. So I'm like trying, you know, like fumbling with all this. But I'll say, like, when I saw the Eller goal, I thought, hold on a second. Like, is anybody else waiting for some sort of goalie interference or too many men on ice or, you know, some ridiculous call? That's what I was waiting for. I was on edge and I was like, my stupid phone. Like, I need to talk to somebody. And by the time I got it, you know, in and going and whatever else, like, we were down to maybe like 3 minutes left. And it was like, at that point, I'm like, I don't care who's calling me or texting. I was like, I needed to watch it and just, you know, just be in that moment. God, was it good. What a great series. And you know what? Hats off to the Capitals organization for putting, you know, taking out the page in the paper and acknowledging.
Yes.
You know, the Vegas Suns, because I have to say that there are probably very, very few teams, whether NFL, NHL, you know, hockey, soccer, you know, whatever, baseball, that are willing to do that and actually, like, congratulate another team. And I think that that was so classy and so just spot on in sportsmanship and things that I would want, like, my kids, my students to be like, see, this is what you do. You know, you, even though we did beat this other team, and yes, we did win the cup, and that's phenomenal for us. On the other end, there's no reason why we can't acknowledge, you know, the Golden Knights. It was the right thing to do. Had it been the Penguins, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have done it. Because, you know, for obvious reasons. But I felt like that, what a class move on that PR end of the Caps organization. Nice job.
I saw that tweet and I was like, oh my God, as if I could not be any prouder of this team.
Yeah.
And I think this you mentioned the PR staff. I have a pretty good feeling Mr. Leonsis himself had a hand in some part of
absolutely
this going out.
Oh, I totally,
I mean,
agree
directly.
Yeah, because I feel like he is one, just, you know, he's been with this team and supportive of this team, and never, like, of all the times I've seen him interviewed, not once is he, you know, does he look like he's some, you know, complete a-hole that, you know, is, you know, oh, don't talk to him, he's this, he's that, he's, you know, he doesn't interview well, whatever the circumstances. No, this is a guy who's very personable, aside from the monetary value. I mean, like, totally aside from that, this is a guy that has not given up on any of the DC teams. And I thought the first thing that he did, you know, he's supported the team from the beginning, and you go your 80 plus games and he's still supporting them. And the fact that he, you know, no one was charged to go into Capital One for two of the games, hats off to you, because that was a ton of money. You know, like, people would have been willing to pay, you know, $2, $5, $10, whatever, to sit and Capital One and watch the away games. So it was that kind of stuff that made you feel like, you know what, it was so time for DC to have a sport win something and let the city seriously party and have a good time and come together and just absolutely love everything. Politics aside, you know, we already get a bad rap with the whole, like, Trump whatever, and so this was like, and it was that much better, of course, that it was the Washington Capitals. And so and it's like, you know, they've gone from, you know, winning the Stanley Cup to throwing out the first pitch at the Nationals game, and that team rallied behind ours, and we'll rally behind them if they get into the World Series. And then, you know, you have the parade and all this other stuff, and it's just, I can't stop watching where the Stanley Cup was on Friday night and wish and I was at, you know, some of these places. But, man, they were having the best time. And who cares? Ovechkin wants to sleep with the Stanley Cup. Hell yeah. You do what you want to do. Like, how can you not love it? Oh, because then I think of, like, oh, Phil Kessel, you know, ugh, eating hot dogs out of it. I'm like, that's just gross. Like, I don't want to watch you do that. But if Ovechkin wants to sleep with it, I'm like, yeah, you just be you. You do you, number eight, because you totally deserve that. I don't care what you do with the cup. So, it's awesome. It's awesome.
It's terrific to see that. Now, getting back to the game, though, that was probably, I don't know, but I hate to compare it to life situations, but probably the tensest I ever was. The only other situation I can think of that was pretty close, if not worse, maybe even worse, was the birth of my daughter.
Okay.
And that's, I mean, you hate to compare it to things like that, but I was at the point where I literally could have torn through steel if I had to. I was that wound up.
Right.
And I don't know. I was in another world. I was pretty damn close to injuring myself watching those last. I was literally counting the seconds tick off.
Oh, yeah.
To 6 to 7 minutes, 6 minutes, 5 minutes, and then they got to the last minute, and then that damn clock went out.
Oh my God! Right?
I lost it. I wanted to throw something at the TV, and then I was like, no, 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 they cannot let this happen.
And I know.
And my first clue, I actually heard like 6 or 7 seconds before the TV guys even caught it. I remember, this much I remember, there was a scrum in one of the corners, and then I heard this faint but audible kind of, it was, you know, you could barely hear it, but right. I recognized it right away, and it was a buzzer that serves as the signal for the time going out.
Right.
And I heard that, and I was like, wait, what? That didn't sound good. And then the announcers were like, and the clock has gone out in the arena.
Oh, God. And I think, I mean, how many people, you know, I would imagine that watching it live there in Vegas, that if you're just like, you know, you can't help but be suspicious, like, is this part of a show? Like, is this some stupid thing? But for all of us here, like, I had moments of like, oh my God, are you kidding me? This game's totally rigged. Yeah, like Vegas is trying to, because I was all over the place with my emotions. It was like, here you have Eller scoring, thinking, oh my God, we got this. We won 4-3. And you're like, holy shit, we had still 7 minutes and 32 seconds to go, or whatever, you know, seven, whatever. And it was like, could those be any longer? Those 7 minutes. I'm like, come on now.
The keep last. Doing what you're The last minute felt like
and
20.
Then, yeah. Yeah, it did. Because of that delay, and like they're on the phone, and you know, the refs are doing this, and now I'm like, okay, boys, don't get too excited. Don't let this become like some mind fuck. Like, come on, like keep it going. Because, you know, when they had the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl
I remember, you know, that too. I remember that too.
And I'm not a Ravens fan, but I definitely watched it. And it was like, how does that even happen? And then how can players not, you know, get all kind of hyped up and distracted and whatever? You know, it's the same thing if somebody gets injured and they have to be carried off the ice or the field or something. It kind of messes with you for a little bit. And so for this, it's like, well, are we going to have a minute left? Are we going to have to go back 2 minutes? You know, or is everything okay? Like, you know, so it was definitely one of those things where you're like, you have to be freaking kidding me. And yeah, and then my phone's dead. So I'm like, why isn't anyone calling me? Oh, okay. Well, that was my fault.
That between that and not hearing from you, I was like, okay, I'm I have fallen into bizarro world here.
Right. Somehow. I know. Oh my God. I know. And like by the time I when it finally powered up and I was able to get into like the 1%, I had something like 56 messages, text messages or whatever. It's like, are you okay? Are you breathing? Are you this? And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, it's a fucking phone. I'm like, you know, my, and then at the end, I was like, I just can't. And I sat through all that stuff. And I was like, at the very end.
You were alone down there, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. I watched all my games alone.
Now that I think about it, I mean, if you were yanking on the phone, what else could you have been yanking on it?
Well, he wasn't that. So I'm like, maybe between, no.
I wasn't even going there, but okay.
Thanks for the setup, Jerry. I know I wasn't yanking on anything. I was saying that at the phone, the app. Shut up! I'm not such an asshole. But I did. Like I even said to you, like the game ended. I wanted to watch everything. I was watching the replays, and I think it was like 108 or 112. The only person I called was you. And I was like, I don't care if you have to be up in an hour.
No, I didn't care either because, frankly, I was not capable of sleep.
No, none of us were.
At that point, until literally 20 minutes until I had to leave. But no, I was out of it. Now, I mean, I couldn't grasp the significance of the moment.
Right.
But... That's why we're doing this final season episode, as it were, this way, because I wanted to do a quick podcast version before we hit the phones, and that's what we're going to do, so stick around, guys.
But
I wanted to share this moment with just you. Because you thought of me enough to call me.
I did.
At that moment.
I think I just had a warm fuzzy. It's a drink. Just kidding.
I was about to say I'd rather have a warm fuzzy navel.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That was good. You're catching on. It only took, however many games. How many episodes have we done together? Do you know? I don't.
But
I just put you on the spot.
Yeah. All I can think of is peach schnapps and how you hate fruity drinks for some reason.
I do, but you know what? I'd be willing to take one for the team.
Okay.
If you said we're gonna celebrate Stanley Cup victory and this is the only thing that we're gonna have, Gail, I would do it for you. I would. But I would promise you this, if we were ever going to have fruity drinks and I'd be like, oh my God, if I have to sit through this, I get to pick the music.
Yeah. Funny you should mention the music. This is going to be the last topic before we wrap it up and head for break before we put on the phones. I love being at the parade, love being at the event, but... If there was a complaint, and Ron was this was driving him insane. But
okay.
whoever made the playlist, you know the background music
right.
For while we were there waiting, not a whole lot of imagination, you know. Obviously a lot of the classic rock tunes, classic grunge tunes from the 90s. Yeah, that was kind of cool, but. Ron pointed out something. There wasn't a whole lot of, ethnic diversity in the tunes, which kind of struck me funny, too, because isn't Washington, D.C. the birthplace of funk?
Pretty much.
A place of Chuck Brown something. I mean, somebody like that.
Exactly. And considering that, this was, like I said, this was a celebration. This was like
for everybody.
Huge, huge thing for everybody. It was, you know, and it's, you know, there were no protests. So we don't need to have that. So why not just, you know, go out there and have some awesome music? That's exactly, like, I probably would have been right up there with Ron on that one, because I can't stand crappy music. And see, then you'd be like, oh, but come on, we'll put on Margaritaville. No, we're not listening to Jimmy Buffett. Never. We're never going to listen to that and toast to the Stanley Cup.
It wasn't even just...
No.
It wasn't even just that. It was the fact... Some of the songs they play... I mean, this was supposed to be a party. This was supposed to be a celebration. And...
I should have done the playlist.
Some of the... Yeah. What, oh, my God. Just some of the songs... They played Zombie by the Cranberries, for crying out fuck's sake. No, they played that.
Oh my God. They played that song.
I love the Cranberries. I'm sorry.
Of course.
I do.
But that song.
God rest Dolores O'Riordan's soul, right. Who passed away last year. But no, not that
the
song.
Worst.
Not that.
No.
Not at that occasion. My God, think of something better. For fuck's
There's
sake.
There's so many other things. Oh my God. Okay. Well, we'll bring that up in the next thing, because I'm gonna go. We're gonna scoot out and and meet up in 30.
About 30 or so. Yep. And okay, so we got Chris Levesque warming up. So when we get going here in Uber Conference, gonna have him on as the main guest, and we're going to open up the phone lines.
Good.
So, yeah, I'm going to post that here in a few minutes, and yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm excited.
I am too, and I hope everybody listening now hangs around and catches that. So we'll wrap it up here. Move on to the conference, Anna. Take a nice break. Get yourself something to eat. I'll do the same.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'll ping you in like 30.
Sweet.
All right. I'll talk to you then.
All right. Let's go Caps.
Go Cats.
We're gonna keep it going. Now I do apologize for that, no, we're not gonna stop here. In fact, I posted the information out on the Facebook page, so anybody who wants to can call in. But we're gonna keep this going.
keep what going?
funny. But yeah.
Well, that.
Yeah,
well, I will. I will say that I had asked a question, I think it was last week when Bernie had called in the first time we were trying the Uber conference, and I was asking if going into something as serious as the Stanley Cup final, if a team that was, you know, the new team, a newer team, however you want to call Vegas Knights, if the fact that the players had not been together for more than, you know, like obviously less than a year, because they'd only been together for that season, if that lack of, say, chemistry and really knowing each other, because, you know, some of the players on the Capitals have been together for years, and you get to know people's personalities and things that get them motivated, things that get them, you know, riled up and whatnot. And I remember asking if the fact that they had been such a new team, if that was going to be a factor in them maybe not doing as well in the series. And, you know, they did, like, that's just it, though. Like, they played damn well. And unfortunately, I do feel like the refs definitely favored them. But I was just kind of wondering if the fact that the Capitals have such great chemistry and such great respect for each other that they were really, really in for this, like, you know, for all the players. Yes, they wanted to see Ovechkin get it, but I think they also wanted to see Holtby, you know, get out of, you know, whatever terrible mindset he was in before. And why not give, you know, the Vranas and the Kempneys and whatever, and Miss Pelly an opportunity to come aboard and kick ass. And everyone was just, you know, loving it all the same. So I didn't know if you guys had an opinion on first year chemistry versus what the Capitals had, if that was a factor in them winning.
Well, it felt like from the Golden Knights standpoint that I know we heard the story all season that they were a bunch of cast-offs from every team in the league. I felt that way, but at the same time, I think it was attitude that, you know, it was an exciting run during the regular season, and a lot of teams, they caught a lot of teams by surprise, but they played great defense, and Marc-Andre Fleury is a really, I mean, he's one of the best goalies in the world. So you have a great defensive core in front of him and really good coaching on the bench from Gerard Gallant. If you remember when he was the coach of the Florida Panthers, they gave us fits defensively. And I think that's what they did with the majority of the league. And going into the postseason, they knocked off some really good teams in the postseason. What did they lose? Four games going in to the Stanley Cup Finals? That's pretty darn amazing. So I think that was the attitude, like, you know what? We're cast off from other teams. We've got nothing to lose here, so let's go out there and do this. But at the same time, with the Capitals, though, these guys, the crew, the core has been together for a good period of time. You have had a bunch of other guys that have been, you know, in and out of the lineup via Hershey, Vrana. I think this is Stevenson's first year as well, too. But I credit the coaching staff for putting these pieces and GMBM, putting all the pieces together at the right time. You know, I know we complained and whined about what Trotz doing, but you know what? Trotz knew what he was doing all along, especially during a regular season. There was no way that this team was going to miss the regular season. And going into the postseason, there was no pressure on this team at all. And I think the last two seasons, there was a lot of pressure to perform and the pressure to excel. They won the President's Trophy 2 years in a row. So going into the postseason, yeah, there was a lot of pressure. This year, no pressure. Under the radar, they were the underdogs. I forgot who it was. Milbury had picked the Blue Jackets to beat us the first round, and some ESPN experts and NHL.com experts had picked the Penguins, and I think Joe Beninati at the beginning of the season had picked the Lightning to win the Stanley Cup. But we were underdogs most of the season, and I think that was one of the best things that happened to this Washington Capitals team, is that they were underdogs. There was no pressure.
Yep.
Why not? Let's go out there and do this. And they did it, and everything fell into pieces. I mean, all the pieces fell in at the right time. Like I said earlier, they were at the end of the season. Prior, they were always backing into the playoffs, but this time they were on a roll. I think they were 8-2 in their last 10 games of the regular season going in. So they were one of the hottest teams, but I think the experience, Ovechkin played his, pardon my language, his ass off this postseason. It was un-freaking real. And then where the defensive core started playing towards the end of the season, especially with the Kempney acquisition, they were able to lessen ice time for Carlson and Orpik. I remember we were all over those guys. You know, what's going on with Orpik? But towards the end of the season, Orpik was playing great. Come postseason, this guy was one of our rocks. He was a mainstay back there in our blue line. So it's amazing. Still, I mean, I still can't believe it.
He ended up with a what was it, a plus 16?
Yes, that was top magnificent.
Among, not
it
just
was
all defensemen,
amazing.
But all players.
Yeah, amazing. I don't know if you saw a picture.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There was a picture on social media 2 weeks ago or a week ago. He was blocking a shot. He was going face first blocking a shot. I don't know if you guys saw that. That's a ton of heart right there. Ton of heart.
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit, like, Gil and I spoke about a couple of times about players that really, really frustrated us during the year. I mean, there was never an absolute, like, I never disliked or hated on any of the Capitals players like I did towards the Bruins or, you know, the Penguins or whatnot. But Orpik was just one that I just was so frustrated with. And I felt like there were other people that were, you know, were seeing things that I wasn't seeing, for sure. So the support for on my end was like, oh, God, like, you know, what's going on? And then, you know, all of a sudden it was, you know, whatever changed with him and it was needed. He definitely, I mean, I gave my, you know, PowerPoint podcast apology to say, you know, listen, Brooks Orpik, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not, but if you are, I apologize for, you know, throwing you under the bus because, goddamn, like, you've been so hot and so awesome. And, you know, thank you for everything you've done. Because, I mean, there was just, you know, and it's hockey is such a funny sport because it's like, it's, you know, it is so long, but, but I mean, I guess baseball is also, but there's just something about, you know, you get on certain players and you see them definitely, the potential is there. You're like, not quite sure with this rookie or not quite sure with this, you know, and you follow them. And in the end, when you get to see someone really coming into their own, it's amazing to see. And I think, you know, we saw that with Tom Wilson, which was great. And I love that. But then when you see like the Brannas, the Smith Pellys, you know, that kind of stuff, it was also, you know, completely great to see. But then, you know, with the Orpik, like, listen, I gave you a ton of shit all season, but hats off to you because you've really kicked ass like the last 2 months. So thanks. You know, counting his beer on stage, I was like, you know, you do your stuff, number 44. It's all good. I have no ill will towards you whatsoever. Exciting.
Not to add even more to his already growing legend, but now that everybody's winding down and cleaning out lockers and stuff, did anybody happen to hear the injury report with him, specifically his finger?
I think they mentioned this morning that it was his so he originally hurt his hand in the Columbus series. I heard that. And that may require surgery. They said they're going to take a look at it towards the end of this week. But I think it was the slash at the very end of game two from Howla that they said that it slashed off the very tip of his pinky finger, and they had to stitch it back on. I know he said on via Twitter that it sounded worse, but just the fact that this guy loses, you know, the tip of his pinky finger and goes out and plays the very next day is truly amazing, you know. And then if he's going to require surgery later on in his hand, it truly shows the heart and the character of this team. And then they said that Oshie was healthy as well. They said that Kuznetsov, I think prior he had hurt his shoulder. Was that the game? Was that game two as well when he got hurt when he played only 4 minutes of game two? Yeah, that was his shoulder, they said. I didn't hear anything else after that, though. I mean, this is probably the first time we've had a full healthy squad throughout the postseason. I remember so many years we've always heard somebody was playing with a broken foot, a dislocated hand, or broken ribs. But this time we had a healthy Ovechkin. They said Backstrom had two fractures in his index finger, but that won't require surgery. But yeah, how many games did he miss? But look how well this squad played without him. You know, next man up mentality. We had two or three kids that came up and played in the Pittsburgh game, and that was tremendous for us. You know, so I'm sure we're going to hear more as the summer goes on. But this is truly amazing that you two guys, two mainstays, Orpik and Backstrom, playing through injuries with their hands, and they did so well. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Well, and I would love to know both Gail and Christian your opinion on Carlson. Is looking at is it $8 million, 8-year contract? I don't know if I have those numbers right, to be totally honest, but there was something I just saw, and he was very wanting to stay, but we'll see what happens kind of thing. Wondering if how you guys felt about John Carlson.
I think once the cap, the salary cap is released, I'm not sure if it's going to get released next week prior to the draft. I think what we want to see is if the cap is north of 80, 81 million, 82 million, I think we have a good shot in signing Carlson and keeping Carlson here. I heard his interview this afternoon on the way home, stuck in the parking lot, we call I-95 South, with Chad Dukes. And he mentioned that he does want to stay here. It's like a family. These guys have a bond here. You know, they won a Stanley Cup together now. He does want to stay, but we have to see what the salary cap holds. I know it's going to be difficult. I want to keep him. You know, he had a career year. I think he didn't lead all defensemen in scoring through the league this year, and was our franchise all-time franchise leader for defensive scoring in the postseason as well too. So played his butt off. Now if we can get his butt signed, I'll feel even better.
Yeah. Well, and because I guess, you know, you're looking at the numbers and I thought, God, it would just be, you know, so great. Like, why not just keep the team exactly as is going into next year? But I get it. Cause I'm cautious and like, oh, well, my heart's breaking that we're going to sign him, which I'm fine with, but then we're going to lose Jay Beagle and, you know, a couple other, and it's just, that's what I hate. You know, I hate when sports have, you know, the contracts and whatnot, because I do feel like this team especially came together after so much heartache and so much, you know, injury and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, here you are, you're a family to begin with, and now you're truly just, you know, brothers in the wind. And it's like, oh my God. And then you're going to say, like, I think on the 18th, they let the, you know, all the numbers out and be like, okay, shoot. All right. So you're going to go to New York, or you're going to go to, you know, wherever. And it's like, ah, that just sucks. I hate that. Especially especially for these guys. And I'm like, it's completely biased, but yeah, I just, but I was a supporter probably more than Gil was this year. Right. Of John Carlson's?
Well, I mean, there were times early in the season. I mean, nobody was playing consistently well, but you know, my knock on him was I'd find he'd be out of position, and then he'd stand in front of the crease and he'd let the puck go past him. And next thing you know, he's turning around watching it going in the goal. As the season went by, there was a lot less of that, and he didn't really get enough credit for his defensive play. We all know he's got one hell of a point shot. He can move the puck. He's very mobile. One of the things I like to say about him in the last days of Mikey Green being here was that he was Mike Green 2.0. He was an improved version and a younger version of that, and so he already had all that skill that was showcased, but what he doesn't, or did not get credit for, was his defensive play, and that's only getting better on his end. Rarely did you see him out of position when he was playing D coverage. Of course, you could always count on him to move the puck, but he was always in the right place at the right time. And that is only going to get better. And I think whatever they manage to sign it for, I mean, I pray that the salary cap is going to hit $82 million. So we got a fighting chance. But whatever he ends up signing, it's going to be a bargain because of that. He's not going to get worse. He's only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and he's another one. Like, I mean, I know I've talked about Tommy all the time, but this is another player that absolutely matured, absolutely stepped up. But I also feel like he was one that took a turn this year, this season specifically, and becoming a mentor to some younger players. You know, anytime you play any kind of sport, there's always going to be someone younger, faster, you know, all that kind of stuff. And this was an opportunity for Carlson to really say, okay, I've been doing this for a while. I know my shit. I know how to play this game. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you under my wing, or I'm going to work with you. And it's like,
you know, Juice and I'm totally trying to blame. You know, he had good chemistry with Tempe and Jarabek at one point, but it's like that was when I truly felt like John Carlson came into his own. Like he was doing well, but he was also a leader. And I think maybe that's just what he needed, was to kind of come into that leadership role and feel much more confident on the ice, because he had a hell of a season. And, you know, it was great. Great to see. And I would love to keep that family here, to be honest. I think he's only going to get better.
I would have to agree with all you guys. I mean, I think he's only going to get better. And to touch on what Gil said, it's going to be a bargain what he can do. You know, Mike Green 2.0. Yeah, totally agree.
I guess I don't know. Maybe I just have a harder time thinking of like an 8-year contract with some hockey players, because I always feel like that's such a long time. But is John Carlson worth the 8 years? To be honest, like I'm asking you guys both, because I think that was what I read today, but I have no idea if my numbers are right.
I think if they do the 8 years and the lower the salary early on and the bigger the salary towards the end, I think benefits us in trying to sign guys like Beagle, DSP, Kempney, who else is there? Chiasson. Chiasson had a hell of a year too. I mean, he was called on a couple times. He did really well. I know Trott had mentioned that guys like Stevenson was his Swiss Army guys. I think Chiasson was one of those guys as well too. Chiasson had that goal against the Penguins. You know, I don't know how he scored it. I don't know how it got past Murray, but it did. That was huge. But we got to get. I think if they can stretch it out to 8 years. I think I'm okay with it. I'm happy with it. You know, you throw in some incentives. Maybe there's an option for a buyout. Who knows? But I think I'm like you. I'd like to keep the core intact. I want to see this team go back to back. And if there's changes on the blue line, or if there's changes elsewhere, I know it's going to be tough. If you look at Beagle, for example, Beagle is a killer on the penalty kill. He is one of our mainstays, and he's one of the best face-off men in the league. I think during the playoffs or the Stanley Cup finals, he was at 60%, his face-off percentage. That's tremendous. And then you get guys like DSP. I heard something today that DSP was like our Joel Ward signing, where we had signed Joel Ward because of his performance in the postseason. Well, DSP, look what he did this year. He had 7 goals during the regular season, but 7 big goals in the playoffs, and he scored in 3 straight games in the Stanley Cup Finals. And if he didn't score that goal, you know, maybe we were going to go into Game 6. But he was tremendous as well too. But I think guys like Chiasson, Beagle, Kempney, and then Jabberick as well too are going to be bargains. You know, I think they're going to be bargains. We're not going to. I don't think we're going to overspend. But at the same time, we may have to overspend on Beagle and possibly Carlson as well too, because you have to outbid other teams, you know. That's right. The goal. I heard
and
something
God,
today.
Carlson is a hot one right now that people are going to be like, hell yeah.
Oh, he's a stud. He's a stud out there. He is, I think, one of the top 3 or top 2 players right now come free agency. So yep. I know they talked to Beagle today during interviews, and he said, you know, he's going to stay this is his home, but he's going to wait it out and see how everything goes with Carlson. And that's pretty classy. In my book, I agree.
Like, you know, I read the same thing, and I thought, you know what? That's what makes you so awesome. That's why I don't want you to leave DC, because what a class act, the fact that you know your good friend, I feel the same exact way. I read it and I thought, God, Jay Beagle. You know, the Snoopy emoji dance just doesn't do enough for you. I just absolutely love you, and I think that you're just a kid. But what a class act, you know, and I just, everything about that guy is, I'm like, I would love to just see him stay on the roster for sure. Indeed. What a guy.
Definitely,
Gill.
Definitely. I think they had talked to Kempney as well too, and GMBM had told him that they would like to resign him, and his response was, "Well, I want to stay." So I think that's going to be a bargain as well too. He was one of our biggest free agent or trade deadline acquisitions in years, and he wasn't a big name. You know, can you believe that?
Well, I remember, I think Gil and I spoke at one time where we're like, okay, so all of a sudden we've got a Kempney and a Jarabek. Like, what's going on with this? And, you know, that's where Gil's expertise came in, because I'm like, who? who are these? And, you know, Jarabek, I don't, he did what he could, and I'm not knocking the guy, because I didn't think he was terrible, to be honest, but I feel like, God, Kempney. You know, just really stepped up. So that was good. But I don't know. I'm still all excited about the parade. It's just stupid because I wasn't there, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, they're showing the replay right now. So I got the replay on down here in the man cave. So they just had Grubauer dancing around with the DC flag. But
that had to be one of the highlights of the whole thing when he was running around with the DC flag. I had to do three or four double takes because I couldn't believe it was him. But the closer I looked, yeah, it was definitely him.
Oh yeah, definitely. He was having a blast.
The team shorts.
Yeah, when the backup goalie is having that much fun, it's a total team effort. And these guys, and we've said it so many times already, these guys absolutely love each other. They're playing for each other, and then. Fortunately or unfortunately, chemistry is just one of those things you can't buy.
Right.
Sure as hell love to see them, you know, try and keep it together as well as they can.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It was just it was this team. It was just something different. I know towards the end of the season, we were thinking and hoping, you know what? Let's go into the postseason on a nice run. Nice run it was. I mean, wow. I mean, I know we were dealing with the issues that we were talking about, the issues with Holtby. You remember that? And we were talking about, I remember at the trade deadline, we were mad and screaming, like, who's going to get traded? Who was trade bait? Burakovsky. He came up huge in that Tampa series, you know, and he had, what, surgery earlier in the postseason on his thumb again. Tremendous. I'm speechless.
Well, that's just, I mean, like, you really, like, you hit it right there where it's like you could go down the roster of, okay, well, we didn't hear much from, you know, Kuzi in the beginning, and then look at how that ended up, and then Backstrom was quiet, and, you know, then we have an injury and all that kind of stuff. And then I really was kind of waiting for, you know, Tommy to break the record with the penalty minutes. And you know what? There is someone who absolutely matured. Yes, he threw his gloves down, and yes, he kicked ass, and rightfully so. But at the times that, you know, he could have been put in the penalty box in the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 games, and he wasn't, hell of a lot of restraint for Tom Wilson, and hats off to him for that. You know, it was like they just needed something to change, and I don't feel like it could have been on just one player. No one was having like a dry spell where we were stressing about Ovechkin or this or that. It was like, you know what, everybody had something to work on, and as a team they collaborated and came together, and when they are all so excited for the other players to lift the Stanley Cup as much as they are excited for themselves, speaks volumes. You know, because it's just like, yes, Ovi did it. You know, yes. And so, hell yeah. I think it's, you know, that's why there were so many people there yesterday just saying, like, what an awesome team to follow and admire and, you know, keep supporting. Absolutely.
Definitely,
yeah,
definitely.
And time and time again with this squad, it didn't matter if it was someone from the top line or the fourth line, the bottom pairing to the top pairing. It just seemed like whoever was out there that needed to make the play at that time did it. And it, you know, it didn't matter if it was Travis Boyd in game six, quietly winning battles along the boards, or if
it Nathan
was,
Walker
or Nathan Walker digging for a loose puck and getting it to Chase on for that all important goal, or you know, Ovechkin fighting, you know, to dig for a rebound in front of the net in the, what was it, the third game, where he, I think that was as much as anything what personified the amount of effort and faith it took to get through whatever, to get to the final, you know, to get to their goal. And so again, from top to bottom, you didn't have anybody who made that glaring mistake because of being selfish. You didn't have anybody who couldn't make that play when they needed to. And I can't put my finger on, I don't know if I want to, but it was as if this team found a way to gel and make sure that they kept on playing for each other. And I don't know if that's leadership, and it may well be. And I just want to say something right now. There was a few years ago, there was a certain podcast. I have nothing against the Nashville Predators, but they had a fan-made podcast, and I listened to it. And the host, I wish I knew his name, but I really want to call him out right now. But he and you know, kids, close your ears if you're listening. But basically, he flat out called Alex Ovechkin a shitty captain. And I really wish I knew this guy's name, because I want to point at Alex Ovechkin's play all throughout this playoffs and show him, no, you're wrong, because he led this team not only from the bench but also on the ice by example. That is what a good captain does.
Right. But honestly, you have to say, a couple of years ago, there was a point where Alex Ovechkin was all about being at one end of the ice and just waiting for someone to pass the puck to him so he could shoot. And there was not the Alex Ovechkin that we saw this year all over the ice. And I'm not saying that he wasn't praising of his teammates in the locker room, but they're definitely seeing something this year in which he truly came into his own. And I mean, you know, like I said, you know, one of our very first podcasts, he got married, and that, you know, changed him a little bit. And now he's going to be a dad. And so who knows if some, whatever clicked with him, but we saw him all over the place. And I thought, you know, that's exactly the captain that we all hoped for. I can't say that a couple of years ago, he was at the level of admiration that he is right now. If that, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm supporting the guy the Preds person said, because, you know, he definitely isn't, he wasn't awful, but it was a different side of Ovechkin. And I feel like right now, if anybody said that, I'd be ready to be like, okay, hell no. Let's go. Cause this is not right. But a couple of years ago, you know, there was a different Ovechkin. It was a little bit more, you know, he was doing his thing, and it wasn't so much team oriented. And I feel like this season he came out and was like, yeah, this is all about, you know, the Washington Capitals, plural, you know, this is about the team. And you could see his excitement when Ronna scores, when Wilson scores and Burakovsky scores. You know, it's like he was excited for everybody, and then just as excited for Holtby as he was for Corey Bauer, and hats off to him for that.
Yes, yes. I think for me, I think it was at the end of last year, that disappointing loss to the Penguins, and I heard through the offseason that General GMBM had said to Ovi, or told to Trotz, or said something to Trotz in the effect that this and the league is changing. We need to change as well too. And I know there were some issues going on, and there was a lot of thinking going on as well too, in whether the Capitals were going to trade some pieces, because GMBM was looking at the possibility of breaking up this team. And I know some players had spoke to him as well, too, especially Orpik was the one that stepped up and said we needed to sign Oshie long term, and that was our huge free agent signing during the offseason. But I think it was Trotz flying over to Moscow and having a conversation and spending time with Ovi, and he told Ovi, look, you need to change the way you play. The NHL has become younger and faster. And they said that the dedication this offseason that Ovi put into his workout program was something else. They said that he could probably make a movie about what he was doing this offseason and the dedication put in.
Yeah.
I think it was a new, especially during training camp, you know, they had that slogan, we're not going to be sucked this year. Everybody laughed it off and said, well, you know, it's going to be the same old cap, Ovi. But, you know, he came back game one. I mean, he was big. He was big and slim at the same time. He scored 7 goals in 2 games. And I think there, you know, there was a new attitude. Yeah, there were some bumps along the way as well, too. But I think all championship teams have to go through adversity before they can knock on that door and declare that, you know, we're ready for this. And that's what this team did. They knocked on that door and they said, you know what? We're ready for this. We're ready. Let's go and do this. I think this was the season that it finally got into his head that, look, I'm married. And it's pretty exciting that he's going to be a dad here soon, too, as well, too. I think it took 13 years for it to sink in his head and say, hey, look, I'm a captain of this team. I've got to do something. I've got to be able to motivate the players around me so we can go out and win something. And that's what he did, you know. I think during the celebration, once when John Walton did his final call, I still get goosebumps about that. But when you can hear the mic'd up version of him hugging a Backstrom and just the love and affection they have for one another, and them two holding up the Stanley Cup, it's man, you know. But and then hearing the national media gush about what a leader he is, you know, Roenick is on board, and I think a lot of people, I hate to say it, but Milbury was on board too. I think he was pulling for the Capitals during the Stanley Cup Finals. I think he really wanted to see these Caps finally win it. And I think he was on board with, you know, it's enough Ovi bashing. We need to get this guy the Cup. And I told my wife on numerous occasions during the postseason that it seemed like NBC and the rest of the media, NHL Network, Hockey News, Hockey Night in Canada, they were bashing the Capitals. And I told her, that once we win the Stanley Cup, we're going to get that respect and there's going to be no more bashing.
Yeah. Well, I think Mike Milbury, and I felt like I had to put it out there on social media with the fact that, yeah, Picnic Line, the Spotlight song, like you name it, because I am applauding Mike Milbury and the fact that he was going to call that bullshit Colin, that the non-Colin Carlson during what was just like the second game, and it was like he got so fired up and so like this is ridiculous. And I thought, okay, there's the Mike Milbury I want to be behind. You know, the one who's
there you
able
go.
To see, you know, as someone that's supportive and there's not a bias and whatnot. And so I agree with you. I think it took this Stanley Cup final for him to kind of come around because he's such a jerk, but whatever. But he came around, and I feel like there were people who were finally saying that, you know, it was time for Ovechkin, but it was also just it was time for DC and Hull, and I love the fact that none of the players care that Ovechkin's sleeping with the Stanley Cup, drinking out of it, barbecuing next to it. You know, if they have as much media time as he does, they're just like, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter because that guy deserved it. But they all played for each other, and I think that is what made this whole entire season absolutely phenomenal.
No doubt.
Gail, did we lose you to Arnold Palmer?
No, I'm still here, it is getting on. So this essentially being the final show that covers live hockey, I think we're gonna wrap it up here. Chris, don't want to keep you on. I know you got one hell of a schedule, as all of us hardworking people in DMV do. I just want to take this opportunity to thank you so very much for making yourself available and for running probably one of the best, if not the best, Caps fans groups out there, and making us all feel welcome and obliging everybody, and also with your spot on analysis all through the year. Couldn't have made the shows without you, and I hope to continue that going forward.
Hey, I want to thank you guys for giving me this opportunity, inviting me to come on. You guys are nothing but class. I told my wife that you guys are just nothing but class, professional. Every night, you know, and it's fun joking with you guys on Facebook and sending messages, but I really appreciate you guys having me on, and it really means a lot, and I'm getting ready to cry here. But you guys, tremendous. I love you guys a lot, and this really means a lot. I really appreciate it, you guys. Thank you, and what a tremendous season, you know. What a way to go.
That's just it. This is like first time I've done podcast, and the fact that it started with Gil and we're ending it, you know, like it's phenomenal. But the people we were able to have contact with and bring on the show, you know, you, it's awesome. And so the feelings are mutual, and I'm like hoping one of these days, like, you know, the stars are going to align and we're all going to be able to get together with, you know, our families and just really toast to everything, because it's been a kick-ass roller coaster of a season, and I don't regret anything.
Awesome.
Maybe
awesome.
Some of my comments, but you know, whatever. It's all good. Whatever. What can you do? Well, that's great. Well, Christian, thank you so much, and we will definitely be seeing you on True Cap. On your site and PowerPoint for sure. We'll be in contact, because I know Gil wants to continue talking about trade stuff and whatnot in the next couple weeks.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Hey, guys, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. And 2018 Stanley Cup champs. Go
Caps.
Yes. See you guys. You guys have a great night.
All right. Thank you so
you
much,
too.
Chris.
Thanks, Christian.
Hey, thank you, guys. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so yeah, that was Mr. Christian Levesque, admin of the True Caps Fans Facebook room, joining us here tonight for our call-in segment. Fortunately or unfortunately, I think kind of fitting, because you know, I think he deserved a bit of a moment of glory. I think so. I think it's kind of sort of fitting that he's pretty much going to be our only call-in for the segment. So yeah, a lot of good points as he usually makes there. Nice level-headed guy to you know, represent Caps fandom as he always does so well. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. I just wanted to put a couple quick final thoughts out there, lest we forget. A couple things. I don't want to bring everything down, but we have to give a nod to a couple of things here. And so okay. I want to make sure that I mention a certain someone that definitely, without him, none of this, and I mean none of this, would have happened at all. And that's a guy by the name of Abraham Poland, who 44 years ago, well, even before that, decided that Washington, D.C. needed a hockey team. And he had already had the Bullets. He brought the Bullets down. They were then, now they're now the Wizards, but they were called the Bullets then, brought them down from Baltimore to play their home games in D.C. and decided D.C. was big enough to not only have a world-class basketball team, but also could support a hockey team. And it was his dream and his vision that brought the Caps to Baltimore. And there was a time where it was pretty bleak, and the Caps, you know, almost went bye-bye, you know, literally, either to El Fondo or on their way to another city. And it, again, if not for his efforts in not only creating the team, but keeping them here all of those lean years, and there were plenty, trust me. You know, I'm something of an eyewitness to that. There were a lot of lean years. I mean, they were a fun team to watch, but they weren't winning a whole lot of games. And they didn't catch on real, real big. But he kept things together. He kept the faith. And he got the city to believe. And it took quite a bit of years, but they finally got it. Now, unfortunately, and I'm going to segue into the second topic because of this, but unfortunately, he, among many, many others, unfortunately, did not live to see this triumph. But, Mr. Poland, I know you're up there looking down and smiling at us right now all over the DMV and what you've created, and I just hope that you're taking pride in this wonderful creation of yours, because truly it could not have happened without you. Now, he did pass the torch to a man he trusted, one Theodore John Leonsis, and of course it's thanks to him that the Caps became what they did, so don't want to forget that either. But Mr. Poland, I just want to take this opportunity to publicly thank you, because you created something really, really special here. The Capitals will always, they weren't my first hockey love, but they will always be my best.
Absolutely.
And this championship is the highest of all highs. And again, could not have happened without you. Now, as I said, Mr. Poland, unfortunately, did not live to see this triumph. And unfortunately, neither did a lot of folks who began as diehard Caps fans and did so to their literally to their dying day. And I am going to try and not break up. I'm going to try and get through this, but two people especially were very, very special, and who also didn't make it. One of whom tragically passed away during the regular season, and that was Cowbell Fred Candelaria, one of the first people to bring cowbells to the game. And I can still hear it in my mind's ear. Okay. And God bless you, Fred. And I know you're looking down on us too, but I just, if anybody, I really, really wish he'd have lived to see it. But I know he's smiling wherever he is at this grand accomplishment. And the other person I want to mention, who also did not live, unfortunately, to see this triumph, and ironically enough, he passed away the last time the Capitals made the final, that year, 1998, and appropriately enough, we're heading towards Father's Day this weekend, and that's my father, Gary Hannibal. And he was the man who taught me not only how great a sport hockey was, but what it means to support your team, no matter what. And like I said,
thank you. Honestly, he would be so, well, not he would be, he is so proud of you and what you've accomplished and who you have become. And he was with you yesterday at that parade, I promise you, because you had to have felt just something extra special being there. And that was him. And I mean, seriously, you've carried on that, I don't know what's the legacy or tradition or whatever you want to call it,
and your knowledge of hockey and this team specifically, you know, it's like this podcast wouldn't exist, you know, without your knowledge. And so hats off to your dad and you. You know, it's like I know that I can come in and I can be ridiculously sarcastic and whatnot, but genuinely, when it comes to things like this and people and their family and stuff like that, I you know, become mushy and whatnot. And I think that what a tribute. And you should cherish that because, you know, he was there with you yesterday. And so what an amazing feeling to have. Losing a parent sucks.
Definitely. And, yeah. And you know, and the thing that triggered all of that for me was seeing TJ Oshie with his dad and yeah. And that the revelation that Mr. Oshie's suffering from Alzheimer's but he's not gonna forget this ever, I don't think. And appropriately enough, you know, that if it's a couple of numbers that keep coming up in my life, it's the 77, and of course my battery read on my phone is 77%. Why not? But yeah, no, getting back to my dad, I was an Army brat, and I mentioned that, you know, he was stationed in Fort Meade and stayed there and ended up retiring, and he taught me his love of hockey. And I don't know, it's one regret I have, it's I don't know where he figured out the game or learned how to watch it, how to study it, how to love it. All of that I learned from him but I don't know where he got it from. I never will. But he grew up in Texas, Tennessee, and Oklahoma, and back then wasn't much in terms of hockey. So he picked it up somewhere. He figured it out, and he figured out that it was one of the world's greatest team sport. And I thank my lucky stars that I had him for a role model and to show me what the game was all about. I didn't learn to skate until much later in life, but he encouraged me, and it's corny, but he taught me everything I know. And
well, it's not corny.
I poured my heart and soul into this thing, obviously, to the point where I felt like I had to create this podcast and put it out there. So all that to all that end, I want to dedicate this last episode, as it were, of the live hockey season. And to make no mistake, we're going to continue because there's a lot more going on. And, of course, in the next season. But I want to dedicate this episode to Cowbell Fred, my father, and all of the hockey dads out there and all of the Caps fans over the course of the years that poured their hearts and souls into this thing and unfortunately never made it in body to this glorious moment, but did so in spirit, at least. And like Anna said, all of you were with us, not only at the end when the score read 4-3, Caps win series 4-1, but at that parade. So I just want to take this opportunity to dedicate this final episode of the year to all of you.
Yeah, I got nothing.
So if I can pull it together for one last moment.
Then you're going to say for Blue Liner and for Anna Knox, Power Play Point Podcast.
We wish
you a good night and go Caps. Hallelujah, go Caps.
Well, as you know, Anna, it's my show, so I got to have the last word. Nice try.
Of course.
folks, I want to finally take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you, starting with you, Anna, and Chris Levesque, all the great fans of this team, all of the listeners, everybody who's become a follower, even those of you listening who wanted something positive. You know, we try to keep things positive, as I like to say. It isn't always easy and doesn't always come out, but all of you loyal people that have jumped on and stuck by us, I want to thank each and every single one of you for listening, and I hope you hang around because it's only going to get better, and we're going to find ways to reach out to you more and more as the years go by. So, with my last bit of strength, before I completely fade out for the night, on this glorious evening of June the 13th, where the Stanley Cup has come home to roost, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off for the final time in the 2017-2018 season. For Anna Knox, for Chris Levesque, thank you all for listening. I'm signing off and reminding you that I used to hate facial hair, but then it grew on me.
Oh,
Thank give God.
Your hallelujah.
What's right? That?
But give your last hallelujah. Let's wake up.
Just for this season, we'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
You're
not getting rid of me.
What?
I said you're not getting rid of me.
Huh?
Nothing.
All right, we'll try this one more time. Hallelujah, Caps fans. God bless you all real good. And let's go, Caps.
Go, Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.